Okay, let's pick up with the Gemara and Lamed Hayam and Feis. What we've been in the middle of discussing was the suggested reasons by the Amoraim for why it was that Chazal felt the need to forbid the Gvina Sa'akum. And so we gave a number of suggestions, either Misham Nikar, right, because of the snake bite, the snake venom injected into it, or alternatively because of the traces of non-kosher milk in it, or because they use the keva shell, the or kevas nevela in order to make the milk, in order to make the cheese. We talked about the reason of maybe they coat it with pig fat, or that they use vinegar to coagulate the milk. Or we were up to the final reason, which was Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and that's about five lines down, where we said Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, "Mimneishal Aminin Osa B'Sraf HaArla," because they coagulate this milk to make cheese using the sraf, the sap of Arla. Arla, as we've discussed in the past, when you plant a tree for the first 3 years, you're not allowed to have any hana'a from that tree. You're not allowed to use it for anything. The fourth year is what we would call Nata Revai, that the fruit from that tree has to be taken and eaten in Yerushalayim. So the sap of an arla, so not the, you know, a major discussion as we've had in the past, is that arla, if that's forbidden in hana, which part of the tree are we talking about? Are we talking about the roots, the bark, the leaves, the fruit? So says the Gemara, Kaman, like whom? Ki haitana, like the following tana, like we find in the Mishnah, Datnan, Rebbe Lazar Omer. If a person, literally, again, he's causing to stand up, he's coagulating, he's curdling, using the sap of Arla, Aser. Hamamid b'sraf ha'arla, Aser. Why is it Aser? Mepnei shehu peri. Because the sap of the tree is considered to be the fruit. And we know that the fruit of the tree is what's Aser, generally speaking, for fruit-bearing trees. And so the sap of that tree is going to be us, and therefore the things that you make using the sap of that tree are going to be problematic. So says the Gemara, wait a second, you could even say like Rabbi Yeshua, we know that there's a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Now we're suggesting that, no, it could even say Rabbi Yeshua, who apparently disagrees with Rabbi Lazar regarding using the sap of an arla tree. The adkan lo pali Rabbi Yeshua aleid Rabbi Lazar, because up until now Rabbi Yeshua disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer. Ella bekatzva deguza. Their machlokas is only with respect to katzva, which is Rashi explains is another word for sap, deguza of the guza. Guza is the wood, the bark of the tree. Of bekatzva de peira, but when we're dealing with the sap of the fruit itself, modi, then he would agree. In other words, machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua about using, but whether it's forbidden to use the sap of arla, is only with respect to using the sap of the bark, of the wood of the tree. But using the sap of the fruit itself, everyone would agree that you can't use the sap of the fruit because it's considered to be the fruit of arla. V'hainu d'nan, and that's of course what we learn in the Mishnah. The Mishnah in arla tells us, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Shemati b'feirush, I heard explicitly, Shehama'amid b'srafa alin, if a person solidifies, coagulates, using the sap of the leaves, u'b'srafa ikrin, or using the sap of the roots, mutter, that is permitted, because again, the sap of those parts of the tree are not considered to be the fruit. B'srafa pagan, if you use the sap of pagan are underdeveloped figs, they're unripe figs, asur, that's asmib nechu peri, because that is the fruit. Okay, so now at the end of the day then, this leaves us with a number of different suggestions, roughly six suggestions for why it is that Chazal forbade consuming the cheese produced by Gan. The first is because of Niker, the second is because of Tzichtzuch Echal, of the traces of non-kosher milk in it, the third is Shmuel, and that's because they coagulate the milk using Or Kevas Nevela. The fourth is Rav Malchiah, and that's because they would coat it, smear it using pig fat. The fifth is Rav Chisda, because they would use chometz to coagulate. And the sixth is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and that's because they would use Sraf Arla in order to coagulate. So now the Gemara says, wait a second. If you learn like Rav Chisda, what Rav Chisda said? Rav Chisda said that they use chometz in order to coagulate the milk. Now the problem is chometz, what's the issue with chometz? Chometz is that we assume that the vinegar started off as a wine in the possession of the guy, which means that we're dealing with yain nesach that's mixed into your cheese. And if you learn like Rav Nachman Yitzchak, we're dealing with arla that's mixed into your cheese. So So it says the Gemara, Bein Rav Chisda, Bein Rav Nachman Yitzchak, whether you learn like Rav Chisda, whether you learn like Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Titcher Bahana, it should be Asher Bahana. You should make it Asher Bahana because, again, we know that from the Mishnah, Gvinas Akum is a problem only, according to the Chum, it's only an Isser of Achila. There's no Isser Hana. But if you learn, like Rav Chisda and Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that the reason for Chazal forbidding cheese is that it has Saraf Arla mixed into it, or it has Chometz mixed in, so then it should be Asher Bahana. So it says Gemara Kasha, that's actually a question. Okay. Darsh Rav Nachman Yitzchak, excuse me, Darsh Rav Nachman Rav Chisda, he darshan in his kalas. What's this pasuk? L'reach shmanach ha-tovim. This is, again, once we've brought up this pasuk in Shir Hashirim, might as well darshan it a little bit. So the pasuk in Shir Hashirim says, L'reach shmanach ha-tovim. Right, this is the pasuk that comes right after the pasuk that we had a discussion between Rav Yishun and Bishmol about, where they discussed the second pasuk in Shir Hashirim of Parak Aleph, pasuk Beis, where it says, Yishakenim neshikos biyu kitovim dodach miyai. The next pasuk is, L'reach shmanach ha-tovim, shem turach shmanach ha-alkein Alamos Ayivucha, right? This was the Pasuk, and we discussed in the Mishnah, right, that what was the indication that the Pasuk of Hadarit Kitovim Dodach Miyayin, we said the indication was the next Pasuk where it says L'reich Shmanecha, so it's in masculine, so too the first part of the Pasuk, Parakal Pasuk Beis, is also in masculine, so it's Klal Yisrael talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So once we bring up this Pasuk, so the Gemara says, what is the meaning of this Pasuk? L'reach Shmanecha Tovim. L'reach Shmanecha Tovim, your oils are good for reach, for smelling, for perfume. So L'ma Tamachachim Domeh, to what is the Tamachachim compared? L'tzluchas Shal Palyatin, to the tzluchas like a jug, a flask of Palyatin. Palyatin is this ointment, this perfume, these oils that they would make. So it's a flask of perfume. Megula Recha Nodef. If it's open, then its smell is Nodef. It spreads. Mechusa, if it's covered, Ein Recha Nodef, then its smell does not spread. If it's a covered flask, you can't smell it. V'lo od. Not only that, Ela Devarm Shem Mechusin Mimenu Mezgalin Lo. That something that is covered up from him is Mizgalno, is revealed to him. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Alamos Ahivucha, V'kari Bei Alumos. In other words, instead of saying it Alamos, which is the young girls, they love you, instead of reading it that way, read it as Alumos, that it's supposed to be the things that are Alum, that are hidden. Those things are revealed to you. Now, there are a couple different explanations for what's going on in the Gemara. So, let's say for the first part where it says, Megula Rechanodav Mechusa Ein Rechanodav. So what Rashi explains is that when you have a Talmud Chacham who's teaching Torah, so that is the way that his scent can be smelled. If he teaches, if he opens up the flask, so then he'll develop a reputation. He'll for his wonderful Torah as a Talmud Chacham. But if he's concealed, if he's not teaching Torah, then his smell, his aroma cannot be appreciated. The next part, when it says Lo Adal Advarm Shem Chusim Imenu Mezgalin Lo, things that are covered up from him are revealed to him. So what that means is that when he teaches Torah, these are things that naturally come to him. That through the teaching of this Torah, he is able to discover things that he wouldn't have otherwise been able to discover. The Baal Tosfos give a different suggestion in terms of people seeking out his advice, and so they tell him all kinds of private things, secrets. Okay, either way, going on, it's not only that, it's also that the Malach HaMavis, the Malach HaMavis loves him. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Alamos Ayivucha, and the Pasuk says Alamos Ayivucha, instead of reading it as Alamos Ayivucha Karibay Al-Mavis. In other words, the Malach HaMavis loves him so much that he's Zochet HaArichas Yomim. Okay. So, velo od and ala only that, elishan nochol shnei olamos, that he inherits two worlds, echad olam hazeh, v'echad olam haba, this world and the next world. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, alamos, karibay, olamos. Instead of saying it alamos, it's olamos, worlds. Okay. So, that ends off the previous topic, the previous Mishnah, where we discussed the Isser of Givinus Akamon. We've explained the reasons, we explained why it is that Rabbi Yeshua did not want to reveal to Rabbi Shmuel the reason for the gezeira. He didn't want him nitpicking about it. And what exactly the reason was behind Gvinas Hakam, six different suggestions in the Amoraim for the reason for the Isra of Gvinas Hakam. And finally, we have this drasha of L'Reich Shmonachat Tovin. Okay, so says the Mishnah. Ve'elu Devar Mishal of the Kechavim Asurin Ve'ein Isurin Isurna. These are the things of the Kechavim that are Asur, and their Isur is not an Isurna. Again, compare this to the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah was listing off, at least to begin with, until we got to the Machlokos, between the Chacham and Reb Meir, Mishnah was discussing things that are actually not only Asur ba'achila, but they're also Asur ba'ano, you're not allowed to have any benefit from them. So we talk about wine and vinegar that had been, you know, fermented, starting off as wine in the possession of a guy, Cheres Hadriani, etc. So now the Mishnah goes on to discuss things that are not Asur ba'achila, but they are Asur ba'ano. You're not allowed to consume them, but you are allowed to sell them in Amazon. So says the Gemara, Chalav shechavu over Chavim. If you have milk that a guy milked, the ain Yisrael ro'eh, and there was no Jew to watch him, there's no Jew to supervise. The hapas, or bread, the hashem and shalane, or their oil. Now, parenthetically, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Ubeis Dino, he tiru hashem and Rabbi, and this bezin permitted the oil. In other words, originally started off where Chazal forbade the oil that you obtained from Gaim. And then ultimately, Rabbi and his Bezdin revoked that, and they said it's actually permitted. And there's a discussion, Rishon pointed out throughout these Dapim, which Rabbi are we talking about? And so what it's pretty clear is that this is not Rabbeinu HaKadosh, this is not Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi who compiled the Mishnayos. This is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, at least the way the Rashi explains it. It's Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who was Rabbeinu HaKadosh's grandson. Okay. Either way, the Mishnah continues. V'hashlakos, shlakos are things that are boiled or cooked. By gun, typically when we talk about bishel, we're talking about things that are cooked using some sort of a liquid medium, and that's what we're talking about for shlakos. Either way, so we have on this list, we have chalav shechav over chavim, and then we have pas, or shemen, or shlakos, and of course, where Rashi explains it, that the issues over here are issues of chasnus, with the exception of milk, we'll get to milk. There's an issue that we're concerned about intermarriage, ukvashin. Kvashin comes from a lashon lechbosh, which are, you know, literally that would be to press or to pickle. So things that are pickled, things that are preserved. So ukvashin, or preserves, shadarkin l'seis l'sochin yayin v'chometz, where its way is to put into them wine or vinegar. They used to put wine in, they used to put vinegar in when they were pickling things, when they were preserving things. Vitaris trufa. Taris, Rashi explains, is a type of very salty fish or pickled fish, small little fish that was terufa. Terufa is that it's like when an animal is treif, or when an animal is a treifa, it's torn. So this is something that the fish was torn up, it was mashed up, it was minced. And so because it's mashed up, you can't tell if it's kosher or not. So vitaris trufa, vitzir, Vitzir she'ein ba daga kilbas shotetes bo, or brine that doesn't have daga kilbas, the kilbas fish shotetes bo, that's floating in it. And there's various explanations in the Rishonim for what exactly this was. The way the Rashi understands it is that the kilbas was this fish, or this type of growth that was able to develop in this brine. If the brine was brine of kosher fish, if there was a brine of non-kosher fish, it wouldn't be able to develop. Okay, either way, so if you have brine that does not contain this kilbis in it, so then that is a sign that there is non-kosher brine mixed in. V'hachilak, and the chilak fish, we've discussed this also in the past, the chilak is the fish that did not develop it in its earlier stages. It did not have fins or scales. It only developed them later. So this fish, if it was mixed together with non-kosher fish, you wouldn't be able to tell because they didn't have fins or scales. The korit shelcheltis, which korit literally, in some contexts we have it referring to a kernel or a grain. So this would be the grain of chiltis, which loosely translated, chiltis was this very, very sharp type of herb, leafy herb that they used to use to season things. And there are different parts of the plant, the root part or the leafy part. Korit shelcheltis, a little bit of a discussion in Rishon, which part of the plant it's referring to. The simple understanding is maybe that it's referring to the root of the plant that's what it's talking about. We'll contrast this shortly in the next mishnah. We're going to discuss, the chiltis itself, the leaves of the chiltis. But for now, the basic idea is that they were cutting. We're talking about using karcha chiltis, using the grain of the chiltis, literally, either the root part or maybe the stalk part of this plant. Umelech sakundis, and we'll discuss Bezer Hashem what the issue over here is. The basic idea is the idea of davar charif, when you have something that's a sharp food in halacha. So if you use something that's a non-kosher knife in order to cut it, that revives the non-kosher flavor in the knife, and so you'll be dealing with non-kosher. Now the food becomes non-kosher. We'll discuss Bezer Hashem in the Gemara. Umelech sakundis, this is a type of salt, sakundis salt. Harei ilu asurin, vein isurin isurna. So these are things that are prohibited, but their isur is not an isurna. You're not allowed to consume these things, but you are allowed to get benefit from these things. Okay, so that was the mission. And the Gemara says as follows: Chalav l'may nichushla. For milk, you're telling me that the milk of gaim, the milk that was milked by gaim, is prohibited. It's not asher ba'anah. It's only asher ba'achila. The question is, what exactly were they concerned about? Why is it the Chazal forbade the milk of gaim? Imish mechlufi, if it's because there's concern that they swapped it, that they might have mixed, they might have exchanged, switched this perfectly kosher milk with non-kosher milk, well, tahar chiver, kosher milk, milk from a tahar animal is chiver, is white. Tamei, milk from a non-kosher animal is yarok, is greenish or yellowish. So you can tell very carefully, you can tell very easily that, if there was non-kosher milk that was, swapped for kosher milk. So it can be that the concern for milk, the Chazal's concern, was that the guy might have switched the kosher milk for non-kosher milk. And if it's because maybe they mixed in non-kosher milk into the kosher milk, nekum. So then what you should do is, let it cause to stand up, meaning to say, curdle it. Why don't you just take some of the, use the milk and curdle it? And Damar Mar, as we know, the Mar said, Chalav Tar Omid, Chalav Tar, milk that's from a kosher animal that is able to coagulate, you are able to curdle that milk. Chalav Tamei, the Chalav of a non-kosher animal, in Omid does not stand, it does not curdle, it doesn't coagulate. And so just take the milk and coagulate it. If it coagulates, so then you know that it's kosher. So says the Gemara, eat the kabayu lagvina. If a person wanted it for cheese, hachanami, so then great, that would work. Hacha b'mayaskina, here what are we talking about? The kabayu le kimcha. He wants to use this milk for kimcha, which is this dip that we talked about in the past, but the point is that he doesn't want cheese. He wants milk. If a person wants cereal for breakfast, he's not going to coagulate the milk. So the Gemara says, okay, but v'nishko mine kali, take a little bit of the milk, v'nekum, and coagulate it. And if it coagulates, so then you don't have to use all the milk, so save some of the milk for cereal and just take a little sample and coagulate it. If it coagulates, then you know that it's kosher. If it doesn't coagulate, then you know that it's from a non-kosher animal. Says the Gemara, kiven de batar nami ika nisyov de lokaimi. Well, the issue is as follows. We know that when it comes to kosher milk, not all of the milk that you milk from an animal is able to coagulate. Only a portion of it is able to coagulate. Some of the milk does not coagulate. What do we call the milk? The part of the milk that doesn't coagulate, right, that's the whey. So that means that all kosher milk, anyway, has, some liquid portion that's, stuck in the pores, stuck in the holes. When you coagulate it, it's, sticking to it. But the point is that there's some of the kosher milk that doesn't coagulate. So therefore, leik lamikah ma'alah demilsa. So you're not able to get to the bottom of this. You can't determine exactly if this milk is kosher milk or non-kosher milk, because if you coagulate it, there'll be some part of it that is still in liquid form. And even for kosher milk, it's like that. So you won't be able to tell if there's non-kosher milk mixed into it or not. Now, ibay seima, alternatively, and this is the version that Rashi had, is ibay seima, alternatively, afilu tema de kabayu legvina, even if you did want it for cheese, still you wouldn't be able to. In other words, there's an assumption that the Gemara is making over here that you should just note. The Gemara seemed to say that, what exactly is the issue with milk? So we said, are you concerned about the guy switching it? No, that can't be concerned because you'd be able to tell if it's non-kosher milk that he switched it for. If you're nervous about him mixing non-kosher milk into it, so why don't you just coagulate it? So the Gemara said, I'll tell you why. If you wanted it for cheese, then you're right. You would be able to just coagulate it and see what the story was with this milk. But you don't want it for cheese, you want it for the milk itself. So the Gemara says, why don't you just use a sample? But what emerged from the previous Gemara is that if you wanted this milk for cheese, then that'd be a legitimate way to determine if it's kosher or if it's not. Just make cheese. So now the Gemara is saying, though, no. I feel the same with the Kabbalah, looking, even if you did want it for cheese, still there'd be a problem. There's still going to be an issue because there's going to be milk that are going to be baini itfi between the holes. In other words, stuck in the pores and the holes of the cheese, there's concern that the non-kosher milk that doesn't coagulate is going to be stuck within those pores. And so therefore, there's going to be non-kosher milk mixed in, and you're not going to be able to determine that there's non-kosher milk there. Okay, so that is the issue with milk, why it is that the milk that's obtained from a guy is a problem. It's not because he might switch it, because you could tell. It's not, and if it's the concern of, so ultimately at the end of the day, it's going to be because there's going to be non-kosher milk that might have been mixed into it, and you're not going to be able to determine that there's non-kosher milk mixed in. Okay, continuing now. The next thing we said in the Mishnah was that we said that milk that a guy milked without a Jew, supervising is a problem. And then we said pas, the bread. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Kana, Amar Rav Yochanan, pas lo kutra bebezin. Rav Yochanan said, you should know, guys, that bread was not permitted in Bezin. Remember, in the Mishnah we noted that Rebbe Beis Dino came along and they revoked that iser on shemen, right? And they said that, yeah, Chazal forbade shemen, but Rabbi Beis Dino came along and they permitted it. So now Rabbi Yochanan is telling you that, well, bread they did not permit. So bread retained its original iser that Chazal put in place. So says the Gemara, wait a second, Mechlal di Kamanda Shari? Does that imply then that there is somebody who holds that milk is permitted? If Rabbi Yochanan is going out of his way to tell you that, by the way, you should know the bread, I hold the bread was not permitted in Bezin. They did not revoke the Isser made with respect to bread. So that sounds like he's saying, but there are some people out there who do permit the bread. So the Gemara says, there is somebody out there, Deki Asa Rav Dimi, because we know when Rav Dimi came, Amar, he said, Pamachas Yatsa Rebbe L'Sada, there was one time Rebbe went out to the fields, the Hevi Ove Kochavim L'Fnei L'Fanav, and there was a guy who brought before him pas porni, the bread of a porni. Porni is similar to the word furnace, right? It's the bread of a very big oven, of a commercial oven of some sort. Mafisah, he brought this great big bread that had been baked from a sa'ah. Remember, a sa'ah is a unit of volume, a very large unit of volume. Amar Rebbe, and Rebbe said, "Kamina paso, how nice is this bread? Ma rochacham la'osra, what did the Chazal see that they felt the need to forbid this bread?" So the Gemara says, wait a second, Ma rochacham, what did the Chacham see to forbid this bread? Mishum chasnas. We know why Chazal forbade bread. Chazal forbade bread because they were concerned about intermarriage. So what do you mean, Rebbe? How nice is this bread? I vey that. What do Chazal see that they felt the need to forbid this bread? So Ella, no. Rather, that's not what Rebbe meant. Ma rochacham laosra basada. What do Chazal see to forbid it in the fields? Meaning not in the cities, in the outskirts. When you're out on the farm, in the fields. Why do Chazal feel the need to forbid this? There's no concern of coming to intermarry there. So says the Gemara. It's a one-time occurrence. It's in a cry, Rashi says. So why does Chazal forbid this? So says the Gemara, Kisvurn Ha'am, so the people thought, hit the Rebbe Ha'pas. The Rebbe actually held that pas would be permitted. So Velohi, but the truth is that's not actually correct. Rebbe lo hitter said pas, Rebbe never permitted bread. So again, where did this leave us? Rabbi Yochanan walks in and he says, pas was not permitted in Bezin. That was in its original state of Isser that Chazal put in place. So the Gemara says, oh, so that seems to imply that there's somebody out there who does permit bread. Who is that? So we point out that this seems to be Rebbe, because Rebbe went out to the fields and he comments, Ayvei, why did Chazal forbid this bread? There doesn't seem to be an issue here. So they thought that Rebbe was revoking the Isser on bread, but the truth is he wasn't really. Rabbi Yosef Itamer of Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar. So Rav Yosef, or some have it as Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said, Lo kachay masa, that wasn't the story. Ella amru, this is what happened. Pama achas Halach Rebbe Lamakum Echad. Rebbe went to a certain place. Verav pas dachak lo tamidim. And he saw the bread was very pressed for the students, for the tamidim. In other words, he saw that they were stuck, that they didn't have a good way of getting hold of bread. So Amar Rebbe, Rebbe said, In kam palter, is there no palter over here? Now, what you'll notice is that if you look at the Aruch explains, the word palter is really a word from Yevani. It's a Greek word. It's a Greek word similar to the word, by the way, polis. Polis is a city. A palter is a person who sells, right? He's a salesman of some sort. So a palter that we're talking about over here is a person who sells bread. He sells good geshmak bread. That's what we're talking about. So Amar Rebbe, Rebbe says in kan palter. There's no person who sells bread over here. So kisvur na'am. So people thought. Lomar, they thought to say palter of a kachavim. What Rebbe was talking about is he was saying, is there no baker, meaning there's no non-Jewish person selling bread over here? Vuhu lo amar el palter Yisrael, but that's not actually true. Rebbe was only referring to a palter Yisrael. He was just trying to say, is there no Jew in town who makes bread, who sells bread? Okay, so Amar Rav Chavo said, afil man damar palter of a kachavim, even according to the position. That we're talking about a palter of a kuchavim, that Rebbe concluded that Rebbe was saying, that there's no palter of a kuchavim, that Rebbe meant that a palter of a kuchavim is permitted to buy bread from. Lo amar nela delek palter Yisrael. That was said only if there's no palter Yisrael amount, if there's no Jew selling bread. Avol, b'makom deik palter Yisrael, in a place where there's a palter Yisrael, lo, then there would be no permissibility to buy bread from a guy. Rav Yochanan said, "I feel the man under a palter of a kachavim." Even according to the opinion, who says that it's a palter of a kachavim, that when Rebbe said, "Is there no palter around?" and Rebbe meant, "Is there no palter of a kachavim around?" which would imply then that it's permitted to buy bread from a palter of a kachavim. Hanimil b'sada. That's only if you're out in the fields, if you're stuck, and there's nothing else available. Aval be'ir. But if you're in the city, lo, then there's no. I should qualify that a little bit. It's meaning it's hanimil besada. It's that specific when you're out in the fields. You're not, in a populated area. That's only when you're out in the fields. Avol be'ir, but if you're in the city, lo. Then that is not okay. You're not allowed to buy bread from a non-Jewish baker. Why? Mishum chasnas. Because there's concern of chasnas. There's an issue that we're concerned that you might come to intermarry. Evo. Have a manchis v'achel pas. Evo was manchis, like a lashon of biting. He was eating away, and he was biting and eating into some bread. Abay mitzari, by the borders. In other words, what do you mean by the borders? What that means is out in the fields. Amar lehu Rava. Rava said to them. He told the people, in his yeshiva, v'item Rav Nachma Yitzchak, or some have it as Rav Nachma Yitzchak is one who said it. Lo tishto in the bachetz and minei. Do not talk. From him, do not discuss things from him. In other words, don't say over any Torah from him. Because he eats bread of Aramaeans, he eats bread of non-Jews. Okay, so where does this leave us? Again, just to summarize, where does this leave us in terms of pas? Rav Yochanan walks in, and we know that from the Mishnah said pas hakum is a problem. Rav Yochanan says, you should know. Pas was never mutar bebezin. It is true that when it comes to oil, oil was something that was permitted, that was revoked ultimately by Rebbe based. That was not the case when it came to pas. So the Gemara says, oh, that seems to imply that there's somebody out there who holds that pas akum is permitted. So the Gemara says, yeah, that was Rebbe, because that was how some people understood Rebbe, because there's two versions of the story. What happened over here? Rebbe goes out either to the fields, and they bring him pas, they bring him pas akum, and Rebbe says, ah, how nice is this bread? Why did Chazal forbid this? What exactly is the issue in the fields? Out in the fields, there's no concern. It's only a one-time thing. It's a bad cry. What's the issue? So what some people thought to say is that, so it seems to be that Rebbe permitted Pasakum. He revoked the Isser. And the Gemara says, by the way, that's not actually true. Rebbe didn't revoke the Isser. Now, what it seems to be then, Rabbi Yochanan is negating this, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying, you should know, guys, Pas lo hutar bebezin, even though there are those out there who think that Pas was hutar bebezin. Now, there's an alternative version of the story where Rabbi Yosef walks in, and he says, the story was like this, that Rebbe goes out into a place where the Tamidim were stuck, they didn't have bread, and Rebbe says, there's no palter around. Now, the question was, when Rebbe said, was there no palter around, was referring to a palter akum, or was he referring to a Palter Yisrael? Some people thought he meant a Palter Akum, which meant then he was trying to say, oh, if there's a Palter Akum around, then it sounds like you are allowed to buy bread from a Palter Akum. So, but the truth is, he was really saying, though, that is no Palter Yisrael around, which would mean that now it's fallacious. Even if you learn, like the position, that he was saying that there's no Palter Akum around, that would imply that you are allowed to bypass from a Palter Akum. So Rav Yochanan or Rav Chalvo, they qualified that. And they say you should know that even if you learn like that, Rebbe was not saying that you can just buy all across the board from a Palter Akum. One understanding, Rav Chalvo's understanding, is that Rebbe was saying that specifically in a place where there's no Jewish palter around, so then there's no problem buying from a palter of a chavar. Rav Yochanan said that what Rebbe was saying was that even in a place that we say that you're allowed to buy from palter Yisrael, palter Akum, that's only in the Sada, but in the city you're not allowed to, because then there's concern for chasness. Now the Gemara ends off with a story about Ivo, that Ivo would eat pas Akum, and apparently as punishment for what he was doing, Rava said, don't say any Torah from him, because he eats Pasa Akum. Okay, so just to summarize briefly, what do we say in this Gemara? For starters, we talked about the Sraf Arla, using Sraf Arla in order to make Gvina, and that was the final reason we give in Amoraim, and we explained where do you get that from in the Tanaim. We said ultimately that both Tanaim, both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar would agree that if you're using the sap of Arla, a fruit of Arla, that would be a problem, and so we ended off with Akasha. But if you hold that that the issue with Gvina Sa'akum is that they're using sap of Arla, then it should be Asr Bahana'a. The Gemara then darshan zapatzik of the Reich Shmonach HaTovim. We give you a couple of things that we pull out for Tamid Chachamim. Then we give you a list of items in the Mishnah that are Aser, not Ba'achila, but they are Ashmana. Among the list is Chalav Akum, Pas Akum, Shemen Akum, until Rabbi Vestino revoked that. Shlakos, Kvashin, etc. The Gemara goes through what is the issue with Chalav. We explain that it's a concern of them mixing in some Chalav Akum, and they're not going to be able to determine that, that there's Chalav Akum mixed in. Then we have Pas Akum, and we explain that Rabbi Yochanan holds that Pas Akum was not Mutter Bebez, and we discuss that who would be the position holds that Pas Akum would be permitted. Different understandings of what Rebbe would mean if he in fact was saying that Pas Akum was permitted. Maybe it's only in the Sada, maybe it's only if there's no Jewish baker around. Ultimately, the Gemara ends off with the story where Rava said that for people who eat Pas Akum, you shouldn't say over their Torah. We've got problems with those people. They eat Pas Akum. Okay.